Dick out here with Scorebook Live, talking to Jay Billis, one of, if not the premier college basketball analyst, works for ESPN. You'll see him on NBA draft coverage later this week. You have a chance to catch up with Jay here, talking about high school players from the state of Washington who might be hearing their name called in the 2019 NBA draft. First off, Jay, thanks for joining Scorebook Live and being a part of our podcast this week.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll just get right into it. You look at the NBA draft list and guys who have a chance to be drafted this season with Washington ties, and there's quite a few of them. There's, you know, probably six intriguing names that are probably at least being talked about within front office circles and going to be in summer league rosters at some point. But really, when it comes down to it, I think the first guy with Washington ties that's going to hear their name called by Commissioner Adam Silver would be Kevin Porter Jr., freshman from USC, played at Rainier Beach, left-handed scorer supreme that reminds a lot of people of James Harden. Where do you see Kevin Porter Jr. falling in on Thursday in the NBA draft?
You know, it's kind of all over the map, Dan. I think Porter Jr. is probably going to be drafted in the top 20. It's just a question as to where. And some guys like him in the late lottery, others the mid-20s. So it's kind of all over the board, so to speak. But he's really talented. And obviously, you know, from Seattle, the same high school that produced, you know, Jamal Crawford, DeJounte Murray, Nate Robinson, those guys. He's got great speed, and he's very gifted off the dribble. I would call him a transition athlete, sort of more of an open floor player, but got a terrific step back move, hesitation move. He's sort of wired to score. So he's an NBA level athlete with a great body that has shown ability across the board when he feels like playing. The question is, you know, is he going to be able to do that consistently? As you know better than anybody, you know, you're going to be a pro. They expect it consistently when they're paying. You know, if you expect your check consistently, you better perform consistently. And he's got to improve his decisions, really, both on and off the floor. You know, a couple issues this year where he had to be suspended and all that for conduct detrimental, that kind of deal. But he's still young and he's supremely talented. So I think you'll see him, especially in this draft, going in the top 20.
I completely agree. I think when you look at him in the open court, he has a chance to be very special. He's above average shooter, and I think he does a great job creating space, but he's got kind of a low release that, you know, NBA length might be able to contest and climb back into him if he doesn't create enough space. But the next guy I really wanted to talk about is another Seattle product. You talk about just Rainier Beach and the talent that has come out of there. Jalen Nowell from Garfield High School. Brandon Roy's a player who came out of Garfield, then coached Jalen Nowell at high school at Garfield himself, from the University of Washington. He's a guy that I look as being a two guard who has to learn how to maybe play the point because of potential size concerns. But where are you hearing that he might fall in this draft?
You know, he's probably second round undrafted, and there's a chance he doesn't get drafted. I think he's got talent, and I think he can play in the NBA, but I think he's seen as a ball-dominant two-guard, as you said. I mean, he can score from just about anywhere in the college game. Very good finisher. You know, around the rim, he's about 70%, which is very good. You know, extends well. Good touch around the rim. He's about 6'4", I'd say, but a little bit longer than that. And I think he takes pretty good shots and picks his spots really well. You know, he's going to need a little time and space with his shot, but I think he'll get it off quicker as he matures. But shot a good, you know, legit 44% from three. You know, it's not like he, you know, bombs a lot of threes. Only one out of four of his field goal attempts, which is basically everything he doesn't get fouled on, was a three-point shot, but, you know, makes his free throws, and I think he's a good player. Is he a draft pick? Probably second round, but is he a first-round pick? I don't think you'll see him taken in the first round.
you know, and that's the thing that is so hard for so many people to understand, whether you're looking at what, if you're really dialed into to high school high level guys who might be considered McDonald's All-Americans, or if you watch a lot of college basketball. I mean, guys are great players at the college level that don't get first round looks, and they're scratching to make, you know, the ability to make a summer league or be invited to a training camp. If you were advising kids throughout the process, what would you tell them as far as when you're ready to leave, what you should really be able to produce or look like as a pro?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's an intensely personal decision for each player. Like I think first and foremost, if you're just going on a basketball level, I think players have to be responsible to their talent. So if you're super talented, you still have to be ready to be a pro. You have to be emotionally ready. I do think physically ready also, but you have to be ready to go in there, or you can get run over both on and off the floor, but especially off the floor if you're not prepared for it. And if you're the real thing, there's no rush. I think one of the reasons a lot of guys need to go is because they're afraid of getting found out. And they want to get drafted as high as they can before they get found out that they're not the real deal. But if you're the real deal, it doesn't matter whether you go into the league as a freshman or a senior or a fifth-year senior. But what I would say is after the ability to impact the game on an NBA level, if you're not ready to impact the game, then you'd better have another good reason. And if one of your reasons is, you know what, I'm ready to be a pro now, I'm ready to dedicate my life to it, and let the chips fall where they may, that's fine. I'm okay with it. But if you're not, if your talent doesn't demand it, and you are not physically and emotionally ready to be a pro, then I say stay in school and work on being a whole person, because you know, there's never been a great player, a truly great player, that suffered from staying in school too long. Never. And like, nobody, when Tim Duncan is inducted in the Hall of Fame, nobody will stand up there and say, what an idiot, I can't believe he stayed 4 years. Same thing with Grant Hill or some of the, you know, you name it. And if Zion Williamson had decided to stay and be a sophomore, nobody would have said he was a fool at the end of his career. And injury is no longer a legit concern. Because in, you know, today's world, an ACL doesn't end your career like it did, you know, when I was a player. So, you know, but I don't quarrel with any player that decides to go. If they're ready, then I say go.
You know, you make some really good points about, you know, everybody matures on their own timeline. Everybody values different things in their lives. And, you know, staying with University of Washington program and another Husky that stayed all 4 years, has the potential to me to be a pro in the right setting. I don't think he's going to get drafted, but I would love to hear your take on Matisse Thybulle. Played at Eastside Catholic just outside Seattle. He might be the most versatile defender in this entire draft, yet he won't go on. He may not get drafted. What do you see in his game?
Well, I really like him. I think he will be drafted. But wow. You know, reasonable minds could differ on that stuff, but Matisse is one of the best defenders in the draft, and I think he has a chance to be a first-round pick, honestly, because of his ability to guard. And, you know, offensively, he's not there yet, but man, he is an elite defensive talent. And I think in today's game, that's going to carry some weight. But, you know, like his deficiencies offensively, the fact that he's, you know, he's not a great shooter, he doesn't really have any sort of go-to thing. Where you could say, all right, well, what does he do? He does this really well. But I really like him as a player just because he's so good defensively. And I think he's a, you know, he's a winner. But, you know, look, when you look at this draft, Dan, I don't think this is a really strong draft, which is why I would say that I think he's going to be drafted and maybe even higher than people think, just because of his elite skill, as a defender. But you know, you never know. But this is not a draft that is. You're going to see a lot of second round talents go at the end of the first round, because it's not deep with you know, sort of what we would call traditional first round talents.
You know, I do really like how you talk about players in a way that you're so right, because
you know, Matisse might not look like a first-round draft pick based on his offensive abilities, but you're right, defensively, he's as good as they come, and all it takes that so many people don't understand, all it takes is one team to love you to get drafted in the first round. And right. so there's a solid chance. I would not be surprised either if he is drafted. And hopefully for him and for the sake of Washington High School basketball, he's drafted in the first round.
For a guy that's 6'5", I mean, he's got a 7-foot wingspan. And, you know, I know they played zone last couple of years under Mike Hopkins, but I don't think that's a deterrent given his skills. But I mean, you know, he averaged almost 4 steals a game last year, and was the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, people saw it. His parents lived in Australia when he was growing up, so he really didn't start playing basketball until he moved back to Seattle. But you know, he's a disrupting force out there, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. He's a good kid, plays his tail off. So, you know, I hope good things happen for him.
Hey, Scorebook Live Today listeners. You're going to hear plenty more from Dan Dickow and Jay Billis. But before you do, I want to tell you about our friends at Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.
There's three other players with Washington high school ties that, you know, are probably on draft boards. Whether or not they get drafted, again, I think it depends so much on fit. And that's Jalen McDaniels, Federal A High School, San Diego State, Dalton Hamas, Lyndon Christian in Division II Point Loma, and Robert Franks, Washington State University, as well as Evergreen High School. Of those three, I think McDaniels has the most of a chance to be drafted. But, you know, really quickly, can you touch on any of those three or all three of them maybe in what you may be hearing?
McDaniels and Franks are the ones I've seen the most. And I saw a good bit of McDaniels at San Diego State. You know, he's had a couple things sort of his off-court background that are going to raise some red flags for teams. So if they satisfy themselves as to that, that obviously is going to help his draft status. But that aside, and just on the floor stuff, he's got a 7-foot wingspan. He's about 6'10", I'd say. And he has a lot of talent, with the ball in his hands. He can be very good, but he's an inconsistent shooter. And even though he's very versatile on offense, at times he leaves you wanting a little bit more. You know, from his freshman year on, he did not do as well as I expected. I thought he was going to continue. I thought he was going to rise at a higher level. But I do think he has the ability to be a good defender. And so if he keeps getting stronger and keeps working, I think he's got a real chance. He just needs to, you know, I mean, if you look at his numbers against the top teams that they played, he struggled. And on a relative basis, he had, you know, he had some good moments, but you know, he didn't shoot a high percentage against the top 25 teams that they played. And you know, I think when you're looking at a player for the draft, you'd like to see that they bring it in those games. And it was a little more of a difficulty. Now, he was the top target, obviously, in trying to stop him for opposing defenses. So you factor that in as well. And their team wasn't as good this last year as it has been. They were much, much younger than they've been in certain spots. And then Robert Franks, Washington State, can really score. But he played on a team, didn't win a lot of games. So sometimes, you know, when you look at numbers like that, you get sort of distracted by the number. Whereas if you played on a better team, he wouldn't be asked to do the things he was asked to do on the Washington State squad. So I think there's a chance he gets drafted. But it's more likely he goes undrafted. And for, as you know, Dan, better than I do, that for some players, that's actually better. I mean, you know, everybody wants to hear their name, be able to walk around and say they got drafted for the rest of their life. But it's far better to go undrafted and be able to choose a team that really wants you in camp that you have a chance to make than being drafted by a team that maybe you don't fit. And then by the time you're cut,
everybody else has made their decision, so you're out of there and playing in the G League trying to hook on. I'd much rather, you know, if I'm going to be at a place where maybe I'm not fitting or I'm not a great fit, I would rather go undrafted where I get the choice of where to go.
Absolutely agree with, you know, if you're a borderline second rounder undrafted, if you can choose where you get to go and where you fit, I think that would be best. And, you know, just, you know, the last guy, Dalton Hamas, I've seen him, Jay, when I covered the Division II title game. I'm sure you've seen tape on him. You probably haven't seen him in person. What would the challenges or the biggest challenge for a Division II guy be to really kind of smooth over in front office executives' eyes?
You know, I think once they see a guy play and if they're bringing him in, these guys are really bright and they get it. You know, it's funny, every year I've been doing this draft, I think for 17 years now, and I've made more than my share of mistakes in evaluating talent. But I'll tell you, like you've lived it. These NBA guys, they know what they're doing, and they make very few mistakes relative to what people think they make. And I think if you compare the NBA draft to the NFL draft, and people think the NFL, you know, they make all these great decisions, they make just as many mistakes, if not more, in evaluating NFL prospects when they have 5 years to look at them, as opposed to the NBA when they get one, oftentimes with their best prospects. So if a team brings Hamas into camp, or in for a workout, excuse me, and they've watched him play, they'll get a darn good idea of what he's capable of doing and whether he's worth, you know, spending a draft pick on. And the good news for him is I know he's had a number of workouts. Like we were saying before about a guy that's not going to get drafted. If he doesn't get drafted, then he gets to choose a place that, one, wants him in camp, and two, he can make a determination. Is it realistic that I could make this team? Because if you're going to go on a team that's got a bunch of guaranteed contracts and they're all loaded up with players and draft picks and all that stuff, and they're young, and then your chances of making the team are diminished.
You're as dialed in as anybody in the basketball world as far as, you know, college, NBA, international. And so many people get so worked up these days about rankings and where people fall in and having to make all-star games at the high school level so that, you know, they're going to be evaluated by NBA at such an early age. We've got an interesting decision in the state of Washington just a week or so ago. Probably the highest-rated player in the state, Marjon Beauchamp, actually played at Rainier Beach this past season. Is moving out of state, heading to a prep school down in Arizona because he feels it's going to better prepare him for his career down the road. You know, he's a guy who played at Nathan Hale for Brandon Roy, then he played at Garfield for Brandon Roy, then played at Rainier Beach last year. So this will be his fourth high school in 4 years. Somebody like you who's seen basketball at all these levels, is there something to be said for going to a prep school or enjoying your high school experience? Does a prep school really impact your recruiting or your evaluation to make one of these all-star games or to be seen by the next level?
Well, it can help. You know, if the goal is to become a McDonald's All-American and all that, then, yeah, you know, getting in front of the right people and being rated and all that's very important if you're going to be selected to that. But as you know, Dan, like you can go down the list of all the McDonald's All-Americans in the last, you know, 25, 30 years, and they're not always the best players, and they're not always the guys that go on to the best college careers and the best pro careers. They're just the highest rated. And, you know, so we're discussing whether guys are going to be great pros, and, you know, we've both been around gyms for a long time, and the truth is, we don't really know. Like, we have beliefs and all that stuff, but, you know, we can't accurately predict this stuff. And so what makes parents and guardians think that guys that watch them in high school can predict, it's hard to do. The thing that gets me is that parents, with regard to their kid, you know, and I have parents, I'm including guardians and the like, and family members, when they're assessing their family member's athletic future, there's an unrealistic aspect to it. And I'll give you this analogy. Like, if I came to a parent and said, hey, I think your son has the chance to be a Rhodes Scholar and maybe one day win a Nobel Prize, most parents would go, what, are you kidding me? I mean, my kid was eating paste 5 years ago. There's no way. But you tell him he can be a pro basketball player, and everybody's like, I'm in. What do we do? And those are equally unrealistic expectations of a player. And my thing is, and I know this sounds crazy in today's world, but let the kids play, let them have a good time and enjoy the experience. Teach them how to play the right way, teach them how to behave themselves, and teach them how to be good teammates, and they'll have a really good experience. And you know what? If they're really good, nothing can stop them. Everybody saw Steph Curry play in high school, and nobody thought he was ever going to be an NBA player when he was in high school. And he did it. And there are a lot of people that thought other guys were going to be, you know, the next great thing, and they weren't able to live up to it. We don't know. So to me, we're making huge mistakes with these kids when we're bringing them up. But this is a money-making industry, and the parents need to be better consumers. And until they are, we're going to keep seeing all this stuff where people are chasing after stuff that is somewhat unrealistic. Doesn't mean, like, you know, like you and I are maybe examples in this. Like you had I don't know where you were in high school, but you had an unbelievable college career and turned it into a really good pro career and had a great experience. And, you know, I was a highly rated high school player. I had a decent college career and wound up playing overseas. But I've had a long career in the game, and a really positive one. So just because your playing career might be short doesn't mean your experience in the game isn't going to be a great one and long lasting. So my thing is be conscious of giving the players a really good experience and one they can learn from and carry forward to where they can mentor players coming behind them. When they rise up in the game, whether they coach or whether they're an administrator, an AD, or a front office person, you name it. There are a lot of ways to give back in this game that go beyond playing.
So many good points you make there, Jay. And I think it's one of the most kind of talked about things within the inner circle of basketball, but also one of the most misunderstood things. So I appreciate a lot of that insight. Well, we're going to let you go, but I got to ask one more question simply because we're in the state of Washington. I'm a Gonzaga guy. There's two guys invited to the green room from Gonzaga. Now, they don't have Washington high school ties, but again, they're from Gonzaga here in the state of Washington. Rui Hachimura, Brandon Clark, where do you think these guys fall come Thursday?
I've got Rui Hachimura ranked number 11 overall. I think he's better than some of the other draft analysts seem to think. I haven't seen everybody's stuff, but what I've heard. And I think one of the things that I think folks have expressed some concern over is sort of his overall feel for the game, which I think is very good. I think he's super talented, and he's got a great NBA body right now. And he's super skilled. And I think you give him a little bit more time. He's got a chance to be a very, very good NBA player. Brandon Clark is a spectacular athlete, transferred in from San Jose State, and is a versatile defensive, player. Can guard, can switch off and guard multiple spots. He's sort of a perimeter shot blocker, kind of an average close to four or five block shots per 40 minutes. So the question to me is, where does he fit in offensively? You know, is he going to be a guy like Jonathan Williams, frankly, that reminds me a little bit of that. So he's going to do a good job in the NBA, but, you know, is he really like kind of a lot of people have him rated ahead of Rui, and I don't. I see that I kind of flip that. I think Rui's a better player, but reasonable minds can differ. And, you know, as always, I've been plenty wrong in the past. I could be wrong on that too.
Well, I appreciate the insight. I appreciate the honesty. Appreciate you joining, Jay. Always great to reconnect. And thanks for your time with the Scorebook Live Today podcast.
You got it, brother. Great to be with you, Dan.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Scorebook Live Today. If you want the Scorebook Live Today podcast delivered to you free every week, head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, the TuneIn app, or wherever you get your podcasts. search Scorebook Live today and hit that subscribe button. While you're there, go ahead and rate and review us. It helps us do what we do, and we love hearing your input. So be sure to say nice things about Todd and Dan while you're at it. Want to stay connected to your local high school sports programs? Head to iTunes and download Scorebook Live's speedy and free live scoring app. Search Scorebook Live, smash that download button, and get started today. For statewide sports coverage in Washington, head to scorebooklive.com/Washington. That's right, we've got a new domain. New domain. We were sblivewa.com. Go to scorebooklive.com/Washington, and you can find our extensive reporting, feature stories, and engaging digital journalism. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at sblivewa. So when it comes to Washington high school sports, you can stay in the know.